Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Strategies for Success, and I am so excited because I have a fabulous guest today, all the way from New York. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Sue Phillips is one of the world's most renowned fragrance experts. She has created fragrances for brands, celebrities, and connoisseurs at her ultra-chic and discreet Sue Phillips fragrance perfume boutique on New York's Tony Upper East Side, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Phil takes her clients on a journey of scent, sharing secrets, histories, and the effects of the rarest of ingredients she has collected throughout her storied career. Their bespoke perfume formula is recorded in her database and can be reordered at any future time. Now, the nose that knows finally relates to relationship to fragrances. Years in the making, Phillips' long-awaited and much-anticipated book, The Power of Perfume, How to Choose It, Wear It, and Enjoy It, was published by Central Park South Publishing Company, and it's 1995, and it's finally here. The 170-page book premiered in bookstores worldwide and Amazon March 10th. Is filled with highlights from Phillips' career, myths about perfume, and little-known facts about the intoxicating effect of fragrance on all your senses. The Power of Perfume, How to Choose It, Wear It, Enjoy It, also includes photos of celebrities. Phillips has worked throughout her career. She has created fragrances for thousands of fragrance lovers and for the Hollywood elite, from Katie Holmes to Jamie Foxx and Zendaya and the late Cassie Tyson. There's plenty more in Phillips' book, but to reveal it would ruin the surprise. It's a homage to perfumes, fragrance, and scents, whichever you want to call it, and how it really helps people gain confidence, reflects their individually, and create a signature, says Phillips. I will ask my clients, why wear what everyone else wears when you can create your own? And the fabulous thing is proceeds from the book go to the Alzheimer's Association. A percentage of the proceeds of her book, The Power of Perfume, will be donated to the Alzheimer's Association as fragrance and memory are linked. And sadly, Sue's talented mother, artist Jess Phillips, suffered from this disease. Welcome, Sue. I'm so happy to have you as a guest today. How are you?
Hey, Robbie. It's wonderful to be here, and thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you, and thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm interested in knowing what inspired you to start your own company.
Well, everything that I have done has been almost serendipity. I never thought that I would ever be a businesswoman because I was actually going to be a singer and an actress. I'm from South Africa, and I was in my first play at 10 years old, and I got the acting bug. So I studied speech and drama, and I landed up coming to America, and they said, guess what? You don't have a green card. You don't have a membership to the union, so we don't need another out-of-work actress. But because I could stand up in front of people and speak, I landed up in the cosmetic industry. And I've been in the cosmetic industry for many, many, many years.
So why did you choose fragrance? As, you know, there's many cosmetics, so why fragrance?
Well, it was the position that I got when I started Elizabeth Arden. And I became the national training director for fragrance. And I was fascinated with the connection of memory and emotion to fragrance. And in terms of understanding the power of fragrance, I learned about fragrance. I studied it. I went to some of the perfume companies to really understand the aspect of fragrance, you know, development and marketing. And ultimately, I trained people behind the counter to sell the product. And I was just so fascinated with the way fragrance made people feel uplifted, confident, positive. And I fell in love with fragrance. And I've been in the fragrance industry for many years, from Elizabeth Arden. I went to Lancome as marketing director for fragrance and men's skincare. And then Tiffany hired me as vice president of marketing. And I actually spearheaded and created the Tiffany fragrance for their 150th anniversary. And then when I had my daughter, I started consulting, and that was when I started my own company called Scentaprises. And I do a lot of play on words with the word scent. Scentaprises, I do scentertaining events. I end my emails with Scentfully Sue. I offer scentertainment. So I am a scentrepreneur, an entrepreneur with scent. And I started my own company 32 years ago, and that is how I've really become a fragrance expert. And then in 2008, when the economy changed and basically collapsed, I had to rethink all the consulting. And that was when I started to think about customization and bespoke fragrances. And at that time, people looked at me and they said, "Sue, what are you doing? Tupperware parties for perfume?" And they laughed. And now, of course, as we know, customization is the biggest trend, and everybody can be their own brand through selfies, through Instagram, you know, TikTok, all these social media outlets reflecting people's individuality and personality. And the same is true for fragrance. As I say, why wear what everybody else wears when you can create your own?
That's really true. So I'm sure that you learned a lot starting your business. So what advice can you give to other women about starting their own company?
Well, I think people really have to be very well aware of the financial aspect. You know, business is great, and it's exciting to start your own business, but you need to have a foundation. And I really never had a foundation because I was never going to be in business. But I soon learned that it's really important to be able to read a balance sheet. It's important to know what your numbers are. It's important to know where you're spending the money. It's important to know what things cost. And it's important to really offer a product that really reflects the brand value. So, for instance, if you want to really come up with a beautiful fragrance and a very beautiful bottle with very expensive ingredients, you're not going to be able to sell it for $19.95 because those costs are going to make it, you know, much more expensive. So you have to understand, you know, who is your customer, what is your product, what is the demographic, and what is the price that you want to position it at, and make sure that all those elements are consistent.
Wow, that's great advice. So who inspired you?
Who inspired me? Well, I think I know I get my creativity from my mom. She was an amazing artist, a wonderful homemaker. She was a singer. She was a musician. Her home was beautiful. She was a wonderful cook and a wonderful baker. And she just was a Renaissance woman. All her friends called her a Renaissance woman. Her name was Grace Phillips. And in fact, her artwork is on her website, which can be looked at www.2marvelous4words, the letter 2, marvelous, the letter 4, words.com. And even though I can't draw, her creativity inspired me. We always had music in the home. We always had art. We always had flowers. My mom always entertained beautifully. So I grew up with those aesthetics. And when I landed up becoming the national training director for Elizabeth Arden, and I traveled around the world, well, around the country, I always had beautiful music playing in the conference room. I always had flowers. I always had a lovely aroma when people walked into the room, so that they were really inspired by the aesthetics. And at the end of the presentation, at the end of the training school, The people were so inspired that they went back to the counters and they sold fragrances. And every time I was in one of the markets and I had done a fragrance training, the sales went up by about 30, 40, 50% because people were so motivated to sell the fragrances that I had trained them about. So that was my inspiration, actually.
That is amazing. In your book, it says you wanted to be an actress. What changed?
Just logistics. When I came to New York and I went to try and become, you know, get involved in theater, I was able to do it sort of the what we call improvisation groups, singing groups and acting groups, but they weren't on Broadway. And to get on Broadway, you know, you have to be an actor or an actress with a lot of credentials. You have to be a member of the unions. You have to really be able to, you know, show your chops, so to speak. And coming from South Africa, I wasn't a member of the unions, and I wasn't a member of, I wasn't able to, you know, talk my way into it because you needed to be qualified in terms of the unions. And so what I did was I landed up at night going to some of these improv groups, and I joined a few of the groups, and it was so much fun. But during the day I worked in the cosmetic industry, and ultimately, because I traveled around the country so much, I was never around when I got calls to go on auditions. So, you know, finally, when I started, my career started to grow and to build, and I got better and better in the cosmetic industry, it just was a natural flow for me to stay in cosmetics and then ultimately to start my own company, which I have had, and I love having that, my own business.
That's amazing. Oh, well, you came from South Africa to New York. How did you transition from one country to another?
That's a very good question. You know, I had always traveled. I love traveling, and I had always really wanted to live in London because that was where I wanted to study acting and actually be an actress in London. And when I came here on a visit, on a vacation to see my brother and his family, I fell in love with the energy of America, and I traveled around New York and, you know, the East Coast, the West Coast, and I realized what a huge country this is. And so on the way back to South Africa, we did not have direct flights in those days, so I stopped in at London, and the contrast was so huge for me. You know, America in the 1976 was the bicentennial celebration. Everything was happy and bright, and people were on vacation and talking about this wonderful, you know, 200th anniversary birthday party of America. And going back to London was, you know, in the 70s, in the late 70s, it was very economically depressed and kind of gray and very rainy. And to me, the contrast was so vast that I just knew that I had to come to America. And 7 months later, I was living here.
Oh, that's great. So what metrics do you subscribe to in terms of your values?
Well, I think consideration is really important, being courteous. You know, we were raised in South Africa to be very polite, and I think it's important just in terms of meeting people, greeting people. Even when we go to the restaurants, I always ask the waiter or the waitress, instead of saying, you know, hey, you, I always ask for their name. And I think consideration and courtesy are two very important things that maybe a lot of people don't even think about. But I think it gets people, you know, very ingrained and engrossed when you actually call somebody and you talk to them by name. It's a really nice validation that they are, you know, human beings. So I think those are important metrics. And, you know, the other thing is in business, as a businesswoman, business owner and founder, it's so important to pay attention to details. And I do a lot of multitasking because I'm, you know, a small business, but I have a big vision. And paying attention to details is really important. I learned that a long time ago. If you don't pay attention to details, things can slip through the cracks. So that's important. And I also think one of the things I really believe in is, you know, don't ever think about the past. You can't change the past. I learned some very interesting lessons about that. And so the past is the past, and you really can't change it, so don't dwell on it. You don't know what the future is going to bring, so don't, you know, stop what you're doing today and just think about the future. The only thing we really have right now is the present. And living in the present and really making every moment in the present count, I think, is very important. You know, I used to put off things because I used to think about the future, and I'd have all these beautiful dinner parties, and I would always keep my best china and my best cutlery for when the visitors, the best visitors, come. And I thought, well, who are the visitors? You know, the Queen of England is not going to come have dinner with me, but I saved my best china and my best glassware for the best visitors. And finally, I realized that, you know, the best is right here and right now. So enjoy what we have right now.
Those are fabulous words. So what life lessons can you impart?
Ah, well, be kind, be considerate. As I said, pay attention to detail. One of the things that I really pride myself on is that I am so determined and I'm so passionate about what I do. And one of the life lessons that I used to teach my students when I taught at FIT, which is Fashion Institute of Technology, and at LIM, I would say to these students, you know, maybe you don't really know what your path is going to be and where you're going to lead, but try and do something that you really love and that you're passionate about. And if your parents want you to become a doctor or a lawyer, but that's not where you really want to be, then follow your passion, because if you are passionate about something and you really you know, value what you're going to do with your passion and with your work, it's so much better than doing something that people tell you to do just because you might make more money as a doctor and as a lawyer. And I see all the time that people who love what they do and who are passionate about it really thrive and they excel, as opposed to people who are in a mundane job who just, you know, go in for the you know, whether it's the money or it's because they have to, they don't think they have a choice. I think people do have a choice, and find something that you love to do and go for it.
I totally agree. One must have passion to be successful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just takes longer. So where do you see yourself in 1 year, 3 years, and 5 years?
Well, in 1 year, I hope to, you know, I've just written my book, and that I think is going to open up a lot of doors. And I love the fact that I now have a book about the power of perfume. So I think what I'll do is probably parlay that into a possible talk show or radio show or something like that. I also want to create my own line, my own fragrance line, which I think would be, you know, once I have the idea of, you know, having a certain perfume that I love that reflects who I am, I would love to do that. It's a very competitive industry. And no, for sure, nobody needs another perfume, that's for sure. But, you know, we all think that we're special and that we have the best, you know, the next best thing to sliced bread. But, and maybe we do, I don't know. So that's something. And in 5 years and in 10 years, my goodness, you know, Robbie, I've never really had a life plan. I never thought I would do any of the things that I've done. And it is so thrilling to me that every day is a different day. I tell my assistant when they come to work with me, no day is going to be the same. There's going to be different aspects of this job that are going to be exciting, and some will be mundane, but it'll never be boring, because that's just, you know, what I grab things in wholeheartedly. And whatever is in store for me in 5 and 10 years' time, I hope is going to be very positive. But I have no idea, because, honestly, I've never had a 5-year plan.
That's good. That way opportunities can just come jumping in your way and you'll grab them.
Right,
instead of
exactly.
I cannot get off track. You dedicated your book to your mother and daughter. What can you share about them?
Well, I'll spoke a little bit about my mother, who was a, you know, just a beautiful woman inside and out and very talented, and she really gave me the creative inspiration, and the, you know, she influenced me greatly. My daughter, I'm really very proud of. She is an amazing young woman. She actually was in the Peace Corps for 2 years in Moldova, and she started to work in the area of anti-human trafficking.
Wow.
She had gone on a trip in one of the summer school holidays, and she went on these one of these world-class holiday excursions. And she happened to meet a young girl from Thailand who was, I think, 12 years old, who had been trafficked. And her story just hit my daughter in such a passionate way. And she called us from Thailand saying, I know what I want to do. I really want to stop, you know, human trafficking. So she went to the Peace Corps for 2 years in Moldova, learned to speak fluent Romanian. Then she was awarded a Fulbright scholarship, and she went to Bucharest, still spoke Romanian. And then through a whole confluence of ideas, she went to Spain, and then she landed up speaking fluent Spanish, and she's been in the area of anti-human trafficking and training and now leadership training. And then she actually moved with her partner to Germany last year during COVID, and she's now working for, she's doing work for the UN and the World Food Program. And she's an amazing young woman, and I like to say she's changing the world and I'm making it smell good.
Oh, that's really good. So why did you write your book, and what do you hope people get from the book? You still have about 8 minutes, so we have a lot of time to really dwell on that and then let people know how they can reach you.
That's great. I'll be happy to. So I have written many articles over the years. I've frequently been a guest editor on beauty magazines. I've written so many articles on fragrance. I've written about the correlation of scent and taste, how taste and scent are so related, how environmental scenting is such an important part of marketing for branding. And so I just wanted to write a book, and I thought about, you know, my story, and, you know, I think it's a pretty good story, but truthfully, nobody needs another memoir. But I really felt that with all my knowledge and with all my experiences and so many questions people have asked me about perfume and fragrance over the years, that it would be a really good thing to do. And I had started it, and then I had stopped. And then when COVID happened, I said, you know, this is a great time to finish it. And so I spent last year really writing it and revising it and editing it and then putting it together. And we just launched it. I launched it in February this year at the National Arts Club on a Zoom call, because it was going to originally be in person, but of course COVID happened and there were no actual events, so we did a Zoom call and there were 700 people on the call, and I asked everybody to ask questions in the chat, and they did. And so I just feel that this is an interesting story, and it's an interesting book about fragrance and, you know, the fragrance vocabulary and how fragrances are constructed and why certain notes are so meaningful, and, you know, sort of why, where fragrance comes from and what the word perfume means and the history of fragrance through the decades and where to wear perfume. So it's a fun read. It's an interesting read. It's just full of interesting, you know, anecdotes and a lot of information about fragrance that I think people will really enjoy and get a good understanding about it in a very wonderful, fun way and not heavy at all.
So where can people get your book from?
They can certainly order it on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. They can also find it on my website. If they want an autographed copy, they can contact my website, which is scenterprises.com, S-C-E-N-T-E-R-P-R-I-S-E-S, and also suephillips.com. And if they order the book through my website, I would be happy to autograph it and to inscribe it for them. And I really hope that they find a lot of enjoyment and a lot of information and knowledge about fragrance, because one thing that people don't know, Robbie, is that our most powerful sense is our sense of smell. Our strongest is our sense of sight. But the one sense that links memory and emotion and scent and taste is our sense of smell. And the thing that I've been doing lately is really helping people who've had COVID, who've lost their sense of smell and taste. And it's been absolutely amazing because when people who lose their sense of smell and taste realize that they can't enjoy food and they, you know, everything that we do revolves around food and socialization, let's meet for tea, for lunch, for dinner, for breakfast, people don't really want to partake of that if they can't enjoy food. And so I have been working a lot with what they call long haulers, people who've lost their sense of smell for the last 12 or 13 months. And it's been absolutely amazing. I've been able to be successful in helping people rediscover and regain their sense of smell. And I tell everybody I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist and I really can't guarantee results, but somehow when I take them through the fragrance journey and I show them these beautiful perfumes that I've created, somehow or other, the vibrations and the frequency connects and they're able to smell again. And it's just been amazing. I've had a lot of press, NBC, Inside Edition, Fox News, The Post, Reuters did a huge thing. If people are really interested and if they've lost their sense of smell, I would be happy to see if I could help them, because believe me, when people cannot smell, they usually cannot taste. And it's devastating.
Oh, my goodness. That is so great. So tell people again how they can reach you, and then we're going to come to an end. This was just amazing to learn all this about you.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, Robbie. I'm so happy to talk to you. I know that we go back a long while. You were with my brother and worked with Jeff, and so to be in touch with you again is just wonderful. And people can reach me through my websites. I have two. One is scentaprizes.com. The word scent and enterprises as one word, scentaprizes.com, and suephillips.com, which is two L's, suephillips.com. And I would be thrilled and delighted to speak to people. They can contact me, reach me, and I'm very visible on the internet because I've had a lot of amazing press lately, and really am delighted and excited to have been able to help people who've lost their sense of smell. And I hope that everybody can just take a little comfort in the fact that people really can enjoy the memory of fragrance. Sometimes loved ones, you know, sometimes you can smell something and it can take you back to the memory of a first kiss or a newborn baby or a loved one. And I like to say to people, really think about your sense of smell, because when you lose it, it's really devastating. You cannot enjoy the good, wonderful things that life has to offer, such as food and tasting and that kind of thing. So it's a very important sense, and a lot of people ignore it until they don't have it, and then they realize how important it is.
Well, it's been wonderful, and we've been talking with Sue Phillips, who's not only a great author, but one of the world's most renowned fragrance experts. Thank you so much, Sue. It has just been wonderful, and I've learned some stuff. So if you'd like to just say one last word,
yes,
then we are off.
Thank you so much, everybody. And Robbie, thank you so much. I would say to people, go to the supermarket and smell the produce and see if you can distinguish the difference between lemons and limes and oranges and tangerines, and see if your nose can distinguish the difference when you look at them and then when you close your eyes. And that would be a little test that you can test yourself all the time, and just relish in the fact that our sense of smell is so powerful.
Wow, that's something I'm going to try and see if I can do. Thank you again. Thank you again for being my guest, and we will stay in touch. And good luck on your book.
Thank you, Robbie. Great to talk to you, and I hope to see you soon. Thank you so much, and best of luck to everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.